The other district in Virginia to keep an eye on is Virginia 2, which is currently represented by Congressman Scott Taylor. He is being contested by Elaine Luria, and that district could also be a major bellwether. We'd also, in addition to early voting patterns, we want to look at a couple of suburban districts because for the Democrats to take control of the House, they are going to need to win significantly in suburban America. So again, we turn to Virginia 10. That's the Comstock seat, which will be indicative of how suburban voting patterns, but also two other seats I would keep an eye on: New Jersey 7, that's currently represented by Leonard Lance, and Illinois 6, which is represented by Congressman Peter Roskam. New Jersey polls close at 8 o'clock in the evening, so those votes might come in fairly soon after before the midnight hour. There are 25 seats currently held by Republican members of Congress that Hillary Clinton won in the 2016 election. Let me repeat that. There were 25 congressional seats held by Republicans lost by President Trump. Those are the seats that the Democrats need to win to retake the House of Representatives. Based on this data, we'll see if midterm elections stay to form where the party in power loses ground in the House, and by what magnitude they lose ground in the House. Again, the Democrats have to win 23. Their net win has to be 23 to take control of the House, which would result in Nancy Pelosi becoming Speaker, Steny Hoyer being Majority Leader, and likely that James Clyburn would be the Democratic whip of the House whip. That would also mean that Elijah Cummings would become chairman of the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee, and Jerry Connolly, in all likelihood, would become subcommittee chair of the subcommittee that has jurisdiction on federal and postal employee benefits. So get out and vote on Tuesday because your vote matters. Now I'd like to talk a little bit about the Federal Employees Health Benefits Program. Open season, it runs from November 12th to December 10th. And FEHBP is probably one of the most important benefits that's enjoyed by the federal and postal workforce. And I might add that the outcome of the election could very well determine whether or not these benefits are threatened by Congress in 2019. What we should anticipate in the open season, which starts in 2 weeks, is that the enrollee premium increased by only one, on the average, 1.5% over last year. That is the lowest increase since 1995, which is dramatic. In part, that I think is attributable to high premiums of last year, which exceeded 6%. So there's considerable cushion for the 2019 premiums. But moreover, that there are also new benefits that are being offered or new plans that are being offered in the 2019 contract year. There are 27 plans that will be offering a third option this year, a high deductible option in addition to their standard and high options. I'm going to get back to that in a moment because there is a concern about that with regard to adverse selection. In addition, there are six FEHBP plans that will provide reimbursement to Medicare eligible enrollees who enroll in Medicare Part B and also enroll in one of these six plans. The reimbursement is usually paid for out of a health reimbursement account set aside within the FEHBP and within the plans in the FEHBP. So if you are participating in Medicare and you enroll in Medicare Part B, we strongly urge you to consider these plans that will actually reimburse you for part of the Part B premium. Now let me come back to the high deductible options that are now being made more available in FEHBP. Those plans will tend to be attractive to younger, healthier individuals. Consequently, if you're older and sicker, you probably won't be looking at those plans. So the older and sicker people or enrollees will sort of gravitate to those plans that have more comprehensive benefits. When that happens, the premiums of those plans tend to accelerate to a faster degree than the plans that have less benefits. So we'll need to keep an eye on how these third option or high deductible plans impact the premiums of the other plans, and we'll figure that out probably for the 2019 open season next year. But that's something that I would be keeping an eye on. The last issue I'd like to be talking about is the cost of living adjustments. As anyone who is a retiree probably knows by now, there will be a cost of living adjustment in 2019. If you're in the civil service retirement system and you also receive Social Security, you'll be getting a 2.8% cost of living adjustment, which is based on the Consumer Price Index. That is, if you're in the CSRS or you are in the Social Security system, you will be getting a 2.8% cost of living adjustment. For those participating in the Federal Employees Retirement System, the cost of living adjustment will only be 2%. But it's also important to remember that FERS retirees also participate in the Social Security system. So in some ways, the deficiency in FERS is mitigated by the fact that a 2.8% cost of living adjustment will be realized through the Social Security portion of their retirement. Nevertheless, it is our belief that there should be a more equitable accounting of the cost of living adjustments, no matter if you are in CSRS or if you're in FERS. The original FERS statute from the early 1980s indicates that if the consumer price index is less than 2%, both civil service retirement system enrollees and FERS enrollees get the same cost of living adjustment. If the cost of living adjustment or the consumer price index is between 2 to 3%, the CSRS retirees receive a cost of living adjustment of what the consumer price index is, that's 2% plus whatever is over 2%. However, the FERS enrollees only get the 2%, so they don't benefit from the add-on. If the consumer price index exceeds 3%, CSRS enrollees get the 3% plus cost of living adjustment, whereas those in FERS get the consumer price index minus 1%. We believe that this inequity needs to be addressed. Unfortunately, there's not enough time to address it, we believe, in this legislative session. But we will be looking for members of Congress to introduce legislation and to support legislation next congressional year, next session. In any case, that's it for the NAPS chat of this week, of November 2nd. We look forward to speaking with you next week to give our post-election NAPS chat. Thank you for joining me today.
And make believe it came from you. I'm gonna write words oh so sweet. They're gonna knock me off.